Timeless Voyager Radio, self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative health care, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. My guests are Patrick Von Mock, Paul Baraccio, National Health Federation. The FDA is the fall guy, you say, and the AMA for the pharmaceuticals.
Well, years and years ago, when I was a young man, the doctors treated you with homeopathics and pretty much put the responsibility for your health up to you. And then post-World War II, we got into the chemical drugs, and the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies who were intermingled in their ownership came in and they got the doctors to only go to their schools, and they taught drugs, and homeopathy became a no-no. And they did away with everything except AMA-approved medical practices. And it wasn't until the mid-70s where we financed and loaned our attorneys to the chiropractors that chiropractors were allowed to practice in hospitals or
right.
be referred by a doctor. Someday, perhaps, they're going to allow a doctor to marry a chiropractor.
Well, so the point, though, that you're making is very interesting, because I guess what we're really looking at here is somewhere along the line, the AMA, let's say, manipulated by the pharmaceuticals, and then the FDA got in there and made things legal or illegal, and all of a sudden we have this situation that we're in now where, I've had guests on, for example, who can't use the term cure. If you've had it outside of the medical community, you can't say you were cured.
That's right. You can't even say you were cured after 5 years, when AMA-approved doctors are able to say, well, we cured that baby. She's now past 5 years and no sign of cancer, so that's a cure. You can drop dead on 5 years and 10 days, and statistically they still have cured you of cancer. But if you're an alternative practitioner, you're not allowed to use the word cure. As a matter of fact, the people who label vitamins, manufacture and distribute vitamins and minerals, amino acids, health foods, that sort of thing, can't use the word cure either. That's a violation of the FDA rules.
Let's talk a little bit. Okay, yeah, let's talk a little bit about legislation, because I think that's what we're going to move to.
Well, we certainly are, and we were struck in the head on Wednesday here in the state of California by Assembly Bill 733, introduced by my former Assemblywoman Jackie Speer up in San Mateo County near San Francisco. And the bill says, mandatory fluoridation bill for California. It AB 733 requires owners and operators of public water systems to fluoridate by January 1st, 2000, the year 2000.
Now people think that fluoridation is good, is it?
No, it's abominable. It's made out of a product that's a byproduct of aluminum oxide. My brother, who was comptroller for Alcoa, was the one who started selling this to the dental companies and to the municipalities, for which I've severely admonished him time and time again.
But what, I mean, isn't it, don't we have proof that fluoride has had a tremendous effect on strengthening teeth against cavities?
No. Claims that fluoride, sodium fluoride, reduces cavities, there is no evidence to support that claim. And the way that they basically, the hook in the gills to the public in convincing the public that there is generally that with the advent of better sanitation, hygiene, things like this, nutrition, various things, cavities and various infectious diseases and conditions go away over the course of time. But basically what it is we're looking at hygiene and sanitation, things like this, over the course of time. And this is the reason why cavities and decay declined, not because of a toxic waste byproduct of aluminum manufacturing being in the water supply. And I think people should realize that sodium fluoride and calcium fluoride are two completely different things. And when people think of fluoride, they think of the naturally occurring calcium fluoride. Now, what is in toothpastes and what is in the water supply around the country is not that. It is sodium fluoride. And if you'd like, I've got a list of conditions and side effects this is scientific studies. Information.
So, give us a list.
What we got here, this is the effects of 1 parts per million fluoridated water on the population. Slightly poorer teeth and more DMF, which is decay and missing teeth. More brittle bones in the age. Destruction of at least 60 out of 63 enzymes, including cytochrome C and cholinesterase. Genetic change in both the sperm and other cells. Dramatic heart death increase in Antioch, Wisconsin.
We're talking with Paul Baraccia of the National Health Federation. Now, Paul, you were telling us these are the negative effects of fluoridation. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
All right. So maybe you could sum it up and just give us a few of those, because all of them is too much for us to remember.
Right. Of course, all of them. We could go on and on here. But basically, another, miscarriages, things like this. 39% increase in cancers overall. In Chile, they did an experiment with fluoride, basically, down there. Infant birth defects increased by three times, tripled down there when they experimented with fluoride. And other side effects, we're talking about arthritis, immobility, blindness, bladder and urinary tract.
Okay, now what does the other side say about this? Why are they coming up with fluoride then? What's the purpose?
Well, basically, fluoride is another multi-billion dollar chemical interest. And that's what the bottom line is when we deal with the array of these issues. When we're dealing in terms of the AMA and the pharmaceutical industry, pesticide industry, there are enormous financial interest behind selling fluoride. And this has been established for a long time. And when the public starts to get information coming to them about the negative effects of something that a company's been making billions of dollars on for decades, you better believe they're going to jump into action and they're going to try and stop that information coming out, however true it may be. And so that's the general situation. And again, the reason they got fluoride, people going with fluoride thinking it was great, is because cavities were going away anyway because of the increases of in hygiene and sanitation. And they just sort of capitalized on it and said, well, it's because the fluoride, and that's why.
So people should at least not use fluoride toothpaste then, I guess you would say.
Well, I would say what people need to do is they need to get the facts for themselves, and they need to become informed consumers, because we're not saying to anyone you should do this or you should do that. What we're saying is you need to get the information from organizations like the National Health Federation. We publish the Health Freedom News, which is a national natural health magazine, and it's about being an informed consumer. That's the bottom line.
Boy, I hope you can get a better phone.
I'll work on that.
Oh, goodness, I've never heard such a noisy phone in my life.
Yes, there were two things that I wanted to add to what Paul had to say about fluoride toothpaste and fluoridation. One is that there's a group in Ohio that has a $100,000 bond in escrow in a bank in Ohio that they will give to anyone who proves that there's any efficacy or safety to fluoride.
So in other words, you're saying a person is willing, or a group is literally willing, to spend $100,000 if someone can come up with some kind of proof that fluoridation is good for us.
That's right.
Now, this is unbelievable.
Well,
they should have offered some money for the people that would prove that it wasn't any good for us. And you're saying it's so easy to find information that it's no good that they decided to do the reverse.
all the studies show that it is harmful. So if anyone can come up with a legitimate study that says that it's valid and useful, they will give them the $100,000. And they are not the people that judge it. The people at the bank are the ones who judge it. I happen to be a friend of Pee Wee Belding, whose dad and uncle did the studies on the battleship during World War II that got fluoride started. And I must confess that I started fluoridation in my hometown in Iowa. I've been trying to get it unfluoridated ever since then, but there's too much money on the other side, and I no longer live there, so I don't count. But that $100,000 is sitting out there waiting for anyone who can prove that fluoridation is beneficial. And I hate to stick to things that are happening just here in California, but we have two major issues that are going on. One is malathion spraying, and we certainly don't have time to get into all of the ramifications of that at this time. But there's an Alternative Health Care Rights Act that's being pushed right now so that individuals can choose the doctor, the method of treatment that they want, and not have the AMA or the FDA penalize either their doctor or the patient. And those who call in will give them that telephone number to call and get behind this bill, because we're going to need a lot of people.
Right, now wait, I think you jumped a little too quickly for me, at least. Somewhere along the line, we were talking about malathion, and all of a sudden we jumped to something else. What
yes.
was...
Well, malathion issue is just so big that we can't
okay.
deal with it in the time...
All right, so we're not going to talk about malathion.
No, they...
Okay, so which one are we talking about then? I'm sorry.
Alternative Health Care Rights Act.
Okay.
And we need a lot of people to contact us so that we can refer you to the person that's in charge of this and get freedom of choice in health care in California. Then the other thing, for your listeners who are in other states, we don't want to beat California to death, but the various states, including New Jersey and Florida, where it's imminent, that the dietitians are pushing through a bill that says only registered dietitians can tell you what's good for you and what's bad for you. These are the same people who bring you hospital food. And they want to knock the nutritionists and the other people that are interested in the field of health out of the advice-giving area. And New Jersey and Florida, those bills are just about ready to be voted on. There are a total of six states, and I suggest that you call us if you want information about what states they are and who to contact, because giving it out over the air probably would not be the most effective way to do that.
So it's called the Alternative Health Rights Act. That is very, very important issue here.
Absolutely. In California, it's prime. And what has happened is that the people who promoted all these bills, like the dietitian's bill at the federal level, failed. So now they're going state to state, hoping to pick it off one state at a time.
What is your opinion on why this is being pushed this way?
Well, the registered dietitians want the power to control what people eat, and they're the ones who select the menus in hospitals, prisons, and the school lunch program. So if you've eaten in any of those places, you know how bad the food is. The only good thing that can be said about it is that it's not as good as airline food.
Really?
So for those of you who fly a lot and are tired of the same old thing on an airplane, just realize that if you don't go to prison, don't get into a school lunch program, or don't go to a hospital, you're eating better than the people that are in those three programs are.
So this is pretty incredible. I mean, the people that are sick in the hospital should be getting the best nutrition possible.
Do you know that people die of malnutrition in hospitals?
I didn't know it, no.
Yes, well, the Center for Disease Control lists several thousand deaths a year from malnutrition from people who are eating the food that registered dietitians prescribe for them to eat.
Paul Baraccia is my guest at this moment. Paul, you were going to talk about vaccinations.
Yes, that's right. And again, with this issue, the main point to make is that consumers need to become aware and they need to be able to go and research these issues for themselves. I certainly have some information I want to pass on and share here, but ultimately we all need to be informed consumers and taking responsibility for our own health and lives. The issue regarding vaccinations is that we have been led to believe over the course of decades that vaccinations are the best thing since sliced bread, and that we eradicated polio, that we eradicated smallpox. And the actual fact is that there is very little, if any, evidence to support those claims. And on the other hand, there is much evidence that shows worldwide through public health statistics that these diseases were going away years before the first vaccinations were ever given. For instance, the polio death rate had decreased 47% in the United States and 55% in England, respectively, between 1923 and 1953. And it was about, you know, the late 1950s when the polio vaccine was introduced. And the vaccine itself, there has been a lot of evidence suggesting that the polio vaccine and others have actually created those diseases and fostered those diseases and basically created epidemic situations at times where the public health agencies were saying, we need to vaccinate, getting everyone lined up for vaccinations, and then all of a sudden an epidemic spirals out of control. I have a really interesting quote here, which is out of a book called Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? A Parent's Guide to Childhood Shots by Neil Miller. And this quote is by Dr. Jonas Salk, the inventor of the polio vaccine. And it says, Dr. Salk himself was quoted as saying, when you inoculate children with the polio vaccine, you don't sleep well for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, what does that tell you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think you better tell me because I could think of a couple reasons.
Okay. Well, basically, here's another little bit of information, a little soundbite here. In 1977, Dr. Jonas Salk, inventor of the Salk polio vaccine, testified along with other scientists that most 87% of the polio cases which have occurred in the U.S. since the early 1970s probably were the byproduct of the polio vaccine itself. And also, the Savin oral polio vaccine is currently the only known cause of polio in the United States today. And those are Centers for Disease Control statistics.
So what you want us to believe, and I'm only saying this because mm-hmm. I want to get this straight,
mm-hmm.
what you want us to believe is that vaccination, polio vaccination, had nothing to do with the fact that polio is no longer with us.
Well, that is actually what the facts suggest. And what we're saying is that because this is a very sensitive issue, and vaccinations to most of the country are like an appendage of their religion in many ways. And the reason is because basically how this got started is during the polio epidemic. During that time, we had a lot, and you have to realize, too, during that time, that was a period where you didn't even think about questioning your doctor back in those days, back around the 50s. It was much different than it is now. People are becoming more informed. The situation is it was a lot of propaganda. Poster children, a lot of claims about modern science eradicating disease and we're going to conquer this and conquer that. Bottom line, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar vaccination enterprise here. And when you've got those kind of assets at stake and you've got this kind of enterprise, basically they're going to flatten any kind of information they can to keep this industry going, regardless of its effects on children.
Now, who wants to take a chance that what you're saying is not true?
Well, the bottom line is people, the information is available to research this, and people need to not go by what I'm saying. I'm going by what I have learned by my own research. I am an informed consumer, and I am saying this book that I mentioned, our vaccination kit that Pat mentioned that we have available, is a lot of very good information, information written by doctors, PhDs, attorneys, people who are very credible. And it's a matter of, to put this in the big picture, you know, sort of a big picture here, if we were to take the best and the brightest in the world, the epidemiologists, the doctors, the scientists, journalists who support vaccinations and those who don't, and we had a national, international televised debate, and they all put their cards on the table, those of us opposing vaccinations would mop the floor with the other side, and we would wipe them away forever.
But unfortunately, there'll never be that, because the majority of the money that comes to the stations comes from the pharmaceuticals themselves.
That's true. That will never happen, and the establishment would never let that happen because they know that it would discredit them forever.
You might be interested to know that one of my contacts who really likes the show Timeless Voyager Radio was saying to me, Bruce, I know that I can get you with Westwood One, except that 75% of their income comes from pharmaceuticals, which means that you'd have to stop doing programs like the one we're doing tonight.
Right. Yeah, and basically, well, here's a little bit of information. Well, I wanted to mention, I'm going to give you the pat here in a sec. One thing I wanted to mention quickly is there are many groups around the country that are educating parents about vaccinations, and I wanted to run off the names of a few. There's the Vaccine
Sure.
Information and Awareness in Austin, Texas. There's the National Vaccine Information Center in Virginia. There's HAVOC, Health Alternatives and Vaccine Awareness in Orange County, California. Ohio Parents for Vaccine Safety in Ohio, Natural Hygiene Incorporated. And I'm going to give you to Pat here because he wanted to add a little information.
All right, Paul Baracci, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, it's nice of you to have us on your program.
Yeah, now we need to do this again because we didn't get a chance to really talk about a lot of the issues. Both of you spend a lot of your time with the legislation, don't you?
Yes, we do. I spent most of last year in Washington, D.C.
So basically what you are doing, the National Health Federation, is literally trying to protect us from the same old interests that have been out there just destroying life in general.
That's right, and it's a very unpopular task. A lot of people don't want to be saved. They'd like to keep on going the way they are. And before we get off here, I certainly want to turn this back over to Paul. He has a very good quote.
All right.
That I think we ought to leave.
Okay, we got about 15, 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, this quote is by Dr. Benjamin Rush. He was the first Surgeon General of the United States and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others, will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are un-American and despotic.